Good morning.
Good morning.
Desire your prayers this morning as we look into the Word of God.
Depending on Him, thank the Lord for the fact that we can come to Jesus.
Yes.
You know, the time to come to Jesus is when He's talking to you.
Right.
You know, we endeavor to bring what God has given us, but you know, sometimes God's been dealing already and He's been working already. And if He has, when God gives opportunity, then I encourage you to respond to Him. Doesn't matter what the message is on. If you have a need before the Lord, the brother was singing about it, come to Jesus. He's got whatever we need, God has it for us. So we can be encouraged by that this morning. I desire your prayers and endeavor to give to you this morning what I believe the Lord has given to me. And, you know, sometimes there are messages that are reminders. There may be repeats, some things that we have to be reminded of from time to time. And I want you to know that that's not only good for those of us that stand behind this pulpit. It's good for all of us to have reminders from time to time. And I'm thinking about this morning something that is vitally important to establishing and maintaining a prosperous relationship with God. I'm thinking about something that is necessary, it's essential, and if we don't have it, then our relationship with God is going to be in trouble. One of the things that we have to recognize first, though, is the fact that a relationship with God is very, very important. It's the most important relationship that we can have in this life is a relationship with Almighty God. And I want you to know that God desires that for every one of us. His utmost concern for each and every one of His creation is for the eternal soul. That's why He sent His Son to die, so to give us an opportunity for us to have a relationship with Him. And there's a familiar text of Scripture in 3 John, and it's the second verse. And sometimes I believe it's good for us to be reminded of these types of things. This is not the text Scripture, but it emphasizes the importance of a relationship with God and how He wants above all things. Well, what does it say?
Beloved.
This was a writing that
John was writing to a faithful servant, but I believe it's for us as well. He was encouraging him. He said, "Beloved,
I wish above all things
that thou mayest prosper
and be in health,
even as thy soul prospers.
So God desires for all of us. He wants things to be well with us. But the utmost, most important concern that He has for each and every one of us is for our eternal souls. He wants our souls to be prosperous above all things. All right. So now back to the thought this morning. I'm thinking about something again that's vitally important to establishing and maintaining a relationship with God. And it's a five letter word. Trust. But if you allow me to title this morning, I'm going to title it Trust Maintenance. And we'll talk about what that means here in a moment. But Trust Maintenance this morning. So, trust. What is trust? Trust is assured reliance on character, ability, strength, or truth of someone or something. And if a word that you could relate to trust is confidence. All right. So this is something that you depend on, that you rely on, that you have an assurance of knowing that there's just an assurance, a confidence behind it. All right. So then maintenance.
What's the purpose of maintenance? You think about maybe things that we do in a natural sense as it relates to maintenance, just whether it's things that we do with our own bodies or even just things that we have, possessions that we have that we maintain. And what we endeavor to do with maintenance is it's a maintaining, it's a preserving it from failure or decline. That's the reason why there's maintenance, right? We could eat whatever we wanted to, but I mean that's going to lead to decline, right? So why do we think? You know, you think about all the they have all these food groups and they tell you how much you need of this one and how much you need of that one, and what's the purpose of it? It's for maintenance, right? You want this body to work as well as God intended it to work, then you got to give it the right thing. So that requires maintenance. All of us, how did we get here this morning? We got in our cars, don't we? What happens if you don't put, if you neglect all the maintenance on your vehicle when you get ready to get behind the wheel and drive it? It's not going to go, is it? You're going to have some problems. So if we do these things and naturally, doesn't it make sense to do it spiritually as well? So we're going to talk by the help of the Lord about our trust maintenance this morning. I'm reminded of little game that we used to play as young people. Some of you all that are close to my age or similar age, you may remember this game. I don't know if it had a specific title, but if you could title it, it would be the trust game. I see some smiles, so y'all know where I'm going with this. So this particular game, it took two people. You can't have a trust game with just one person. It takes two. And what you do is there's one person that's standing in front and the other person is standing behind them. And what you do is that person that's in the front, they have to trust in the person behind them. So what we did was, so you stand there and then you just fall back. And you just fall back. And you had to trust that the person behind you was going to catch you and not play some games on you and let you fall and hurt yourself. But that's what, that's trust, isn't it? It took an individual being able to have some confidence in the person behind them and them and then have an assurance that they was going to catch them so they wouldn't fall. I'm thinking about just a trust relationship that happens with little babies. Little babies are born in this world. They can't do a thing for themselves, can they? Can't do a thing. But you know what? What happens over time is that child begins to see the care and the love that's given to them by their parents. You know, sometimes sometimes people have children and they adopt, they give them to somebody else. But it's that child, as that child experiences that love, their full confidence is in that one caring for them. And what happens as they get older, that trust and confidence in their parents, it grows, doesn't it? And they just believe, you can start as young little children. I don't know how you can, there's probably some kind of science behind it. But 8, 9-year-old, they believe their parents can do anything. They have full trust and confidence in their parents. And then you just get a little bit older. I don't know when the transition happens. But it happens. Something happens where, I don't know, you're getting in some teenage years and maybe a little bit older. And somehow that same trust that child had at an 8, 9-year-old, something's different. All of a sudden, I don't know if mom and daddy know what they're talking about now. The same trust that I had when I got some of my own knowledge and understanding now. I don't know what happens. But, you know, that trust, it should continue. Yes. It should continue. So let's talk about trust as it relates to
Almighty God. And I'm going to go to a very, 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 very familiar scripture that you probably wouldn't even have to turn to. You could probably quote it. And we was talking about, this is one of the Proverbs. You know, we was talking about in Sunday school this morning, we was talking about Brother Solomon and how he wrote, was it 3,000 Proverbs? I believe this is one of his. We're going to go to Proverbs, the third chapter, and read verses 5 and 6. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6.
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart.
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart.
And lean not unto thine own
understanding. Lean not to thine own understanding.
In all thy ways acknowledge him.
In all thy ways acknowledge him.
And he shall direct thy
path. And he shall direct thy path. Trust in the Lord. That seems like a pretty straightforward instruction. All right? It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. So when that lets me know, you know, I looked at this briefly and I didn't want to go into a tangent with it, but you know that there's in a natural sense, our heart has four chambers. All right. So what that lets me know then is that maybe there's some compartmentalization that could take place. So then I could look at this verse and the writer says, trust in the Lord with all my heart. But what if I want to reserve like maybe just a little peace for me, where I can have some trust and confidence in someone or something else. Okay, so that lets us know there was an importance and an emphasis that was given when the instruction was provided to trust in the Lord. There was an emphasis to make it known it needs to be with all your heart. Do not reserve anything for your own self, for your own control or charge, to really trust in him with all of it. And part of the deception that the enemy tricks people with, if I want to hold a little bit back, I'll trust in the Lord, but only with like 99%, I want to hold a little 1% back for me. When you really think about it, can we really control anything? It's like when we think about that trust and the confidence, sometimes I'll have confidence in my own self. We'll talk about a little bit of that later. But I mean, just think about that. Well, if we're not fully trusting with our whole heart, then what are we trusting in? All right. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. So this is trust with everything. And then there was some additional instruction here that's given. Lean not to your own understanding. We all have some understanding, don't we? We feel like we have some understanding. But the writer is letting us know, lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I keep seeing this word all. It's being repeated over and over and over again, or twice at least. All my heart and in all my ways, acknowledge him and allow him to direct our path. What did it take for each and every one of us, that those of us that met God at an altar of prayer and submitted and surrendered our life to him, what did it take? A little bit of trust? You had to trust and believe that as you bowed at an altar of prayer, that God could take your life, that you had done what you wanted to do with it.
That you had to trust and believe and have confidence that God can take you and change you. That's what it took. Just even for us to acknowledge and recognize that we have a need, it took a trust and a confidence. So do you think if it took that for us to establish a relationship with God, isn't it something that we have to continue? Isn't it something that has to be maintained? Because if it took that, when I bowed and said, Lord, I made a mess of my life, and now I want you to come in and make me a new creature. I want you to change me, change my nature, change my mind, change my attitude, change my mindset, and work in me. It took a trust. And if it took that, that's something that we're going to have to continue as we go through this life. You know, we were all encouraged. Why did we make that decision? We read the Word of God, right? And we believed it. And then we looked around and we saw some other folks that were witnesses. We looked around and we said, I've been watching that person's life. Maybe it was your parents, grandparents, maybe a sibling, somebody that was a spiritual leader that you watched their life and you saw God blessing them and you saw the trust that they had in God and the relationship that they had in God, and you took that and it was in agreement with what you heard about, what you read about, and it's like, you know what, I want what they have.
Amen.
And we are all witnesses. So it's important for all of us. Somebody's looking at us. Somebody's looking at us and our trust and our dependence upon God. And it's we have to be the witnesses, his disciples here in the earth now, to be an encouragement and an inspiration to somebody else. And we must keep and we must maintain that trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not to our own understanding. You know what? It would be real easy, wouldn't it, if we didn't have an adversary? Wouldn't it be easy? You know, it would just be like, whoo, but that's not life. That's not, you know what? You want that, get to heaven. We'll have to worry about him when we get to heaven. But now, we got to worry about him now. Because we're not there yet. All right? So while we're here, he's looking for every opportunity that he can to try to come in and try to disrupt your trust in Almighty God. Everything maybe that happens in your life, different circumstances that arise, he's looking for opportunities to try to plug in there. And can I use this in some kind of way to interrupt, to hinder the trust that we have in God? So he's always looking for opportunities. So how can we avoid that? Let's go to Psalm, the 37th chapter, and the 5th verse.
Commit thy way unto the Lord.
Commit thy way unto the Lord.
Trust also in him.
Trust also in him.
And he shall bring it to pass.
And he shall bring it to pass. Commit thy way unto the Lord. The writer said, roll thy way upon the Lord. And they believe that this is some kind of metaphor to a camel. When a camel lays down to get a burden, right? So this is the reference there to, it says, probably a metaphor taken from a camel who lies down till his load be rolled upon him. All right? So commit thy way unto the Lord. Give your burden to the Lord. You know, what is it? What is it that would hinder? What are things that could hinder our trust? Just things, life, right? Life, just situations. We all have to live. And we all have to go through different things in our lives. So the encouragement here, and in another place, in the New Testament, in Matthew, it talks about casting all of our cares upon Him. So what can happen? Can our trust be hindered if we allow the cares and the burdens of this life to weigh us down? Can that have an effect on our trust?
Yeah.
So how now our trust maintenance then, the instruction this morning that we've been given in the Word of God is whenever something comes along, commit it to the Lord.
Yes,
you know, that's the easiest time to do it is right when it happens.
Yes,
something happens in life, whatever it might be, commit it to the Lord. You know, it becomes more difficult when we try to carry things our own self, and then God has to work overtime. But He's so loving and kind. He does that for us, doesn't He? Thank you, Lord, for your love and your kindness and your compassion. When I start going down the road and try to carry my own burdens, but you come along and you help me out. But the best time is just give it to Him. Right away, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Why is this so difficult for us? We're human. Somehow it goes back to the confidence that we have in our own selves. I mean, what else is it? What else could it be? Who knows more than Him? I don't. We don't. None of us do. Right? But for some reason, again, this is the ways that the inroads that the enemy is trying to come in. He's trying to get us to carry things our own selves instead of committing them to God. And it goes back to the fact that can we really control anything? Again, the enemy deceives people to think that I'm controlling this. I'm handling this. This is in my hands. All this is my doing. I caused this to take place. See, I did this and I did that and I did. Makes me sound like in Luke, the 10th chapter with the Pharisee and the publican, doesn't it? I do this. I fast. I did. I'm going to give you some warning that was given by the prophet Jeremiah. In the 17th chapter of Jeremiah and the 15th verse, he had some instruction and a warning for those that wanted to rely and depend on their own self. Jeremiah 17 and 5.
Thus saith the Lord.
Thus saith the Lord.
Cursed be the man that trusteth in man.
Cursed be the man that trusteth in man.
And maketh flesh his arm.
And maketh flesh his arm.
And whose heart departeth from the Lord.
And whose heart departeth from the Lord. This is what the prophet said. Cursed is a man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm. You know, there's a portion of the Amplified that talks about that. Here's the danger with trusting in our own selves. The second half of that verse in the Amplified, it says, the strong man who trusts in and relies on frail
human flesh arm, and whose heart and whose mind and heart turn aside from the Lord. So the point of that verse and the essence of that verse is letting us know what happens when we begin to trust and depend on our own selves. What it does is it takes our heart and mind away from God. So we're talking about trust maintenance this morning. So do you understand the danger? So the danger when we begin to try to trust and depend on our own selves, then it pulls our mind and our hearts away from trusting in God. Those that trust in man perhaps draw nigh to God with their mouth and honor him with their lips. It goes back to that the Pharisee and the publican, right? In other words, they do it with their it's lip service, but in their heart. See, and that's where it is. It all has to do with the heart. Yeah. And that's the essence of it. And thus, going back, trusting in the Lord with all of it. All of it. I can't keep any of it back or hold any back in reserve because there's going to be a tendency to pull away from trust and depending on God. You know, there was something that Jesus Christ said when he was here on this earth. And I think it's something that we should take note of. Jesus, when he was here on the earth, in the 5th chapter of John and the 30th verse, this was Jesus Christ, the Son of God, okay? He said these words. The first, I believe it's the first half of that verse, it says, John 5 and 30, I can of mine own self do nothing. Amen. This was Jesus Christ. Yes. Yes. Jesus. He was God's son that he sent from heaven down to the earth. He lived here on the earth and he said, I can of my own self do nothing. What about us? We can be born again because of Jesus Christ, his son, but if he couldn't do it, can we? Again, trust maintenance. When I try to take things on my own self, it's going to start to pull away my trust and confidence in God. It's going to start pulling at my heart. And that all, it's going to start chipping away at the all. You know? You know, we could draw an illustration up here where we could make some block letters that say all, right? With all of it. And you could start taking the marker and start wiping some of it away. I'm not going to use block letters, but that says all, right? Does it still say all? But is that all? There's a piece missing, right? So do you understand the analogy here? This is what happens. So in our trust maintenance, we have to keep this all and all of it. So Jesus Christ said, I can't of my own self do nothing. But then there's another verse in Acts that lets us know where our help and our strength come from. In Acts, the 17th chapter and the 28th verse.
For in him we live.
For in him we live
and move
and have our being.
As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring.
So the essence is the first portion of that verse, for in him.
Amen.
For in him we live and we move and we have our being. It has absolutely nothing to do with each and every one of us individually. You woke your own self up this morning? God woke you up. And you gave your own self strength to be able to open your eyes? No. That God allowed that. I mean, these are things that because they happen so frequently that we just come accustomed to it and feel like it's of our own accord. We put our legs down on the side of the bed and we is able to stand. Thank you, God. It's in him that we live and that we move and have our being. How can we, by God's grace and strength, maintain daily victory through the trials and the tests of life? How can we do it? By remembering that God is in control of everything. I'm going to take us to a familiar verse in the 8th chapter of Romans. And as we go through life and different things happen, life happens. It's going to happen. Our life happens in different ways, but life happens to all of us, doesn't it? There's nothing that we can do that doesn't matter how what your financial status is. Life happens to everybody. You could be as rich as Elon Musk or as poor as someone on the side of the road or the street or wherever. Life gonna happen to all of us. So in Romans 8 chapter and the 28th verse.
And we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God.
To them who are called according to his purpose. So now, when I read that scripture, what it helps me to know, if I want the things that occur in life, when life happens, if I want all these things to work for my good, right? Then it says, all things work together for good to them that love God. To them that are called, the called according to his purpose. You know, there's two qualifications given there. Because somebody could say, I love God. Well, I love God, then why aren't all these things somehow working for my good? Are you called according to his purpose? Whose purpose are you pursuing in your life? All right? Are you pursuing your own purpose? Or are you pursuing the purpose that God has for you? So now when we meet both of those conditions, then God can have it so that these, all the things that happen can work together for our good. All things work together for good to them that love God, number one, and them that are called according to his purpose. Now I want you to skip down to the 32nd verse, in case you had some concern. Brother preacher, you don't know my life. And I don't know your life. But God knows your life. And I want to give you some additional insurance of what he's given us in this word right here. So what does it say in the 32nd verse?
He that spared not his own son.
But delivered us up for us all.
How shall he not with him also freely?
How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You have some concerns now? We're talking about the one that gave his only begotten son for our benefit and our blessing. If he was willing to do that, what else will he do for us? But we got to meet the conditions. So as part of my trust maintenance, I need to make sure that I am on a daily basis loving him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and that I'm endeavoring to be on a daily basis called for his purpose. Then I know that the things that happen in my life, he can work them out for my good. We all on an individual journey. All right? And our maintaining trust in Almighty God is directly linked to our faithfulness. And we serve a God who is faithful, and he is worthy to be trusted. We do not have to be concerned about God. God will do his part. We think about, just in a natural sense, sometimes trust is betrayed. Whether it's between husband and wife, whether it's between siblings, sometimes even in business relationships, trust is betrayed by different things that happen. Fill in the blank. Things happen in those relationships and relationships in general that can betray trust. And you know what is the only way to restore it? Is forgiveness. Where does forgiveness come from? Oh, it's not something that all of a sudden somebody that's been holding somebody for so long, they just wake up one morning and say, you know, I'm going to decide I'm going to forgive them. No, it comes from God. So forgiveness comes from God, and it's the only way that trust can be restored. Human nature, what did it say? Eye for an eye and tooth for tooth. That's human nature. You hit me, I'm hitting you back. If you have anything besides that response, that's God. God is the one that brings forgiveness. And you know what? He represented it in his son. While we were yet sinners, he died for us. He exercised, and it wasn't just something that he talked about. It was an action that he gave. He brought forgiveness to us before we even knew what forgiveness was. And it's available to all of us. So we don't have to be concerned about God's trust will be there. He's going to always do his part. That's the point. He'll do his part. He just has different standards, and he has requirements for us to do. If we do our part, he'll do his. There's a story in the Bible about Brother Paul. And we're not going to go there for the sake of time, but if you want to read about it later, it's in 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and it's verses 7 through 9. So what you know about Paul? Paul had a thorn in the flesh. That's what the scripture says. We don't know, whatever that was, whether it was some type of affliction, whatever it was, he had something about his flesh that was troublesome and bothersome to him. And he sought the Lord three times, and he asked God that he would take it away. All right? And God's response to Brother Paul was, you are dealing with this for a specific purpose. This is my will and my purpose, and this is, you are going through this or dealing with this for your benefit and your blessing. All things work together for them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. Was Brother Paul called according to his purpose? Yes, he wrote a lot of the what we read about in this in the Bible. He wrote a lot in the New Testament. But God had, that was part of God's will and divine purpose for Brother Paul. But did he just leave him with it? No, if you continue on in that verse, it says, My grace is sufficient for thee. Amen. So you know what that lets us know? If there's something that as I go through life that I have to deal with, that I've sought God and God has seen fit to leave me with it, then my response is, Lord, you have something good in this for me, or this is for my benefit, or it's to keep me from going a direction that you don't want me to go. So Lord, give me some more grace. And then in the verse it says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. So now, Brother Paul didn't have to rely on his own strength. He got poured divine strength in there to be able to go through what he had to go through with. So we can be encouraged with that. So our trust maintenance, it's our responsibility. Did that take some trust? That took some trust on Brother Paul's part, did it not? He had to trust and know that God, there's a purpose in this, and I submit myself to your divine will. So it's our responsibility. Our trust maintenance is our responsibility, regardless of the trials and the tests that we face in this life. And my encouragement to us all, to myself, most important, is to be encouraged. Amen. Trust the faithful God and his divine plan. Now, we sung a few songs on Wednesday night, and I took note of several of them. And I'm not going to talk about all of it. I'm going to talk about some of the verses. And as we think about the words of the songwriter, think about how it relates to the thought that's been shared here this morning. One of the songs that we sang here was a phrase of it. Trusting thee, I cannot stray. I can never, never lose my way. Now we see, I hope that we take note of, and I pray that we connect things so when we sing about them, we can recognize what we're singing and apply it to our lives. If my trust maintenance is where it needs to be, trusting thee, I cannot stray. So if I maintain my trust in God, I'm not going to stray. It's not possible for me to stray. I'll never lose my way. Another song that we sing. Some of these songs, you know, it takes some resolve, some consecration. All right? We all sung this song on Wednesday night. This is what it said. I trust in him, though disaster grim before me seems to be. He calms my fears and he dries my tears. And most importantly, faithful is to me. You know, none of us want disaster. Who gonna raise their hand and say, send me disaster? But you know what? I know if it comes, what does it say here? I trust in him. If it comes, my trust is in him. And then it said, you notice what it says, I trust in him, though disaster grim before me seems, that's the enemy trying to blow up things in our mind to help us to get our trust away from God and trying to rely on our own self when God has it all worked out. And faithful is to me. That's the most important part. We sung this song also. Yes, dear Lord, I will be still. I will trust thee ever. But what else do I got to do Oh, I got to submit to some of your will. Oh. I'll submit to all thy will and cling to thee forever. Lord, thou knowest what is best. But I think I know a few things, though. No. I might think I know a few things, but I don't know what's best. That's why we have helpmates. Amen. He knows what's best, and confident in this, I'll rest. And then we sung a song this morning, and it was pretty clear. We talked about victory. You want to maintain the victory? Well, the chorus, trust. That chorus probably has trust in it about 20 times. I could be wrong. You could count them. Trust, trust, trust. Trust the Lord. Trust, trust, trust. Trust the Lord. Trust, trust, trust. Trusting in the Lord, who is Christ, the mighty Lord. I want to maintain the victory. And my trust maintenance. Trust the Lord. I pray this morning that these few thoughts have been an encouragement to you. Wherever we are along the journey and the pathway of life, the encouragement is make sure your trust, keep your trust maintenance up to date. And we have opportunities all the time, every day, throughout the day, we have opportunities to exercise our trust and our faith and our confidence in God. Help us to respond and follow with the instruction that he's given us in his word. I desire your prayers. I appreciate your time and your attention.